of coming at your partner like, you spent this, you did this, be like, hey, I've noticed we've been spending a little more, you know, what if we try this? And using like the we approach instead of like, you're doing this, because then they're not going to want to do that. Like, who's going to want to change if you're coming at them, you know, like with very defensive statements?
Hey, this is Allison, and welcome to the Inspire Budget podcast, where we talk all things budgeting, debt, and saving money. Today, we've got a fantastic guest, Allie Williams, the founder of Financially Focused. She's all about making financial literacy flexible and enjoyable without the dreaded deprivation. With her MBA in finance, she's helped countless people pay off debt, build savings, invest wisely, and boost their financial confidence. We are tackling today a very common issue in many relationships: handling money differences in marriage. Allie is going to share her personal journey and offer practical tips for how to deal with financial inequality in marriage. Let's dive in. Welcome, Allie, to the Inspire Budget podcast. I'm so happy you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I am so excited to chat today.
Awesome. So can you go ahead and share your story with us about how you and your partner handled your financial situation whenever one of you had more debt and the other was debt-free with money and savings? Go ahead and give us your story.
Yeah. So I became debt-free as like an individual at 25, and I met my husband at 23. So it kind of overlaps, but I married into $154,000 of debt. So I was debt-free. He had six figures of debt, mostly student loans. There was like credit card and a truck, but majority was student loans. And so, yeah, then the emotional side of that, of course, and then just figuring out how to budget and pay off debt and save, especially when technically, like, my name was not on any of the debt. Yes, we treated it as ours through marriage. Like, we budgeted together, we combined our finances, but I was the one who had money saved, had no debt, started investing, doing all the things, and then kind of marrying into six figures of debt. We, you know, it took a little bit of time and effort to try to create a plan that worked, and just talking through that, I think, took a little time. But yeah, we were able to pay it off, and now we're here. We bought our forever home, you know, we're on track with everything else to kind of feel like doing it as a team. If I tried to do it separately, I don't think we would like be where we are today.
Was that hard for you? I know that there are a lot of people that feel like, I have a lot of listeners that have the debt. They're the ones with the debt, and they feel like it makes them unlovable, or that it's a red flag, or that people are not going to want to be with them because of the debt. Is that something that, I mean, I know it's kind of crazy to ask, but like, ever crossed your mind as someone who was coming into the relationship with a different financial situation with zero debt?
Yeah, I get that a lot. It's funny, on like any reel or comment I do about like my story, I always get people like, I would never marry someone like that. You know, I do get the comments like, why would you do that? I would never marry someone with, you know, that's so dumb. And my husband and I talked about finances really on in our relationship, more because I cared. I was on my debt-free journey at that point. I was like, hey, like, let's see kind of where we're at. And for me, it was more important the habits and the mindset around it than the debt itself. I knew I could pay off debt. Like, I know I can pay off. Mathematically, I know I can pay it off. It never crossed my mind. I think for me, I've always treated debt and does not define you as a person, like, especially student loans. It's very hard, I'd say, these days to find someone who has truly no debt, like nothing, no student loans, nothing. And to use that as a criteria, I mean, to each their own. But for me, it was never a deciding factor. It was more, do I see us getting on the same page? Do I see us having those conversations? And like, can we get to this agreement? And if we could, then I knew I could pay off debt. And I mean, it was shocking. Obviously, you go through kind of the emotional side for him too. He thought it was around 100,000 when we were dating. And so he was like, it's 100,000, it's 100,000. And when we actually totaled it up when we were engaged, it was 154. And it wasn't that he was lying. He was just paying the minimums and didn't check and didn't realize that balances can increase with student loans. If you're on certain payment plans, they can go up. So I think I took my time to be annoyed, but I was like, listen, you know, we can do this together. And that's kind of what we did.
Right. That it's temporary. You saw this as like a temporary, just situational thing, not a defining moment for him. And in terms of like, it didn't define who he was.
Totally.
I think that that's definitely a really big thing when it comes to anyone who's dealing with having any guilt or shame around debt, for them to realize like, hey, this isn't define who I am. This isn't tied to my worth, even though it feels like it is because it's a number, it's a money. So it feels like it's tied to worth, but it's really, really not. I do want to know, was your partner, was he on board with paying off debt when you guys did sit down and he realized this is $156,000 and you said, okay, that's okay. We can do this. We can pay off debt. Like you said, what was his initial response? Was there any hesitation on his end?
Yeah. So I always share how, like, we don't do formal budget meetings, and we did one, and it was December 2018. And I came to the kitchen table with like my binder and I was like ready. And he was like, no, like, nope. Like, I'm not sitting here. And that was my moment where I realized how I want to do things isn't necessarily how he wants to. And I need to find this like common ground. Like, he doesn't enjoy staring at spreadsheets and like going over scenarios and mock budgets. Like, I love that. He is not that person. So I had to realize I can't come at him with 17 spreadsheets and scenarios and be like, look, like, it's going to overwhelm him. And I think whenever I work with couples or just talk about it, you have to understand like how you approach things might not be how your partner is. And for him, he just honestly thought he was going to pay the minimums forever. Like, he didn't even think it was possible to pay it off sooner. Like, he was just like, this is it. Like, this is what people do. Pay your student loans until you die or whatever. Like, you just pay them until. And I think showing him like, hey, look what we're like, when I would make a payment and be like, hey, look, we were able to put this, like, and he could start to see it happen. Then that's when it started to click of like, okay, she's not crazy. Like, this makes sense.
Yes. It sounds like he was open-minded. He was open-minded to like learning and saying, hey, I don't know everything. I know that a lot of partners, I have a lot of women that come to me and say, I can't get my partner on board. And how do I get my partner on board? Especially when they think everything's fine, or they think this is quote unquote normal to just have all of this debt. And that, like you said, he just figured, okay, I'll just have debt forever. Do you have any tips for anyone who has a spouse that is reluctant or very hesitant when it comes to not even just paying off debt, but just making any sort of change with their money, because change can be hard?
Yeah, I think one thing is, instead of telling someone, showing is really important, because it's very easy when we're the one who thinks we know what to do. We're like, you need to do this and you need to do that. And people get very defensive. I mean, I'd say most people do if you're constantly being berated and told what to do. So showing, you know, if you create the budget and show them like, hey, look, you know, if we do this, this is what we can do. And also including them in the process, like asking questions of, hey, what is something you want to save for? Or, hey, what is the one thing in the budget you want to keep? Like, I remember when I first started, I was trying to do like a really strict budget, and it was just stressing us both out. Like, we both were more upset. It was just like causing anxiety. And I was like, hey, adding an extra $30 to our budget this month is worth it for us to like be a team and to keep him on board. So having that individual spending money, even if things are combined, or having a sinking fund for something your partner likes, even if you think it's not a great idea and you're like, this is a waste, if that keeps them going and keeps them on board with your main plans until they can see things, it's important to kind of do things to show them. And also, and the other thing is just saying we, like, for example, I always use like overspenders. An overspender usually knows they're overspending. Like, if you're spent, you know, if you're swiping your card every day, you know.
Me. So I like know. I don't need so you to try to make me feel bad about it. I already know I have a problem.
Right. So like, instead of coming at your partner like, you spent this, you did this, be like, hey, I've noticed we've been spending a little more. You know, what if we try this, and using like the we approach instead of like, you're doing this, because then they're not going to want to do that. Like, who's going to want to change if you're coming at them, you know, like with very defensive statements?
Yes. So I love spending money. It can be a problem. I get in my seasons, I get in my cycles. And there's this one time, and I've talked about this before on my podcast, where I was overspending, and my husband, who I always think I married up, but he comes and he sits down. It's like, I know this has been a problem. He knows it's been a problem. We really haven't talked about it, kind of thing. Like, there's a little bit of tension there. And he just said, I've noticed that we've been pulling money out of savings more and not putting money into savings. And I was like, I know, it's me. I have this problem. And he was just like, well, let's come up with some possible solutions. So there was never this like judgment and shame, because he realizes I'm just I'm made up differently than him. I enjoy the spending money. I need more spending money, whereas he doesn't. He's more of a saver, and that's okay. It doesn't make either one of us worse than the other. In fact, he says it's good because I encourage him to spend money and enjoy his money, whereas normally he wouldn't enjoy it. I love that tip on just coming together as we, using that language. I love how you said that to use the common language of we and also to show, not tell. One tip that I do want to share is that I've told some people that I've worked with, like, if they're not on board, that's fine. You don't need them to be on board to write a budget for what you spend. We typically have our own areas of spending. And post it on the refrigerator and start, like, tracking what you're doing and let them see, because eventually they will get curious and say, hey, I want a part of this. Have you ever noticed that too with any clients you've worked with?
Yeah. And that's why, like, we use ours like in Google Drive. Like, we both have access to it. He definitely doesn't check it as much because I'm the one that, like, actually does the day-to-day, but he knows it's there. When we were paying off debt, I used a lot of those, like, visual trackers, like the coloring ones.
Yeah.
And just to see, so he could see too, like, hey, look, like, we are getting closer. Like, we used any kind of visual cue, and especially saving for big goals or like trips or things we want to do, like using that. Yeah. I think it's helpful, like you said, if they're not on board, is to show, because then, like you said, they do get curious. Even when we were paying off debt, like, I would be like, hey, look, you know, we made another payment. We paid off one student loan. He was like, oh my gosh, like, this is working. You know, in the beginning, he was like, you say we can pay it off, but let's see. And then once he started to see the progress, he was definitely more on board. And it takes time. People, I think, expect a lot of change to happen instantly. And I wish it did. Even with us, like, I feel like we're in a great place now, but there's always periods where I'm like, hey, like, we need to pull back together and, like, figure this out. When we do get in spendy seasons or things come up, we kind of have to regroup. A lot of things work kind of now because we have systems in place, but there's always periods of time where you have to kind of, like, regroup and have those talks.
Exactly. Today's episode is brought to you by my budget to build wealth. Here's the truth. I refuse to believe that wealth is just for the rich. I believe that wealth can be built on a budget without sacrificing what you love to spend money on. I fully believe that budgeting is the quickest, most effective way for you to reach your money goals. So whether your goal is to stop living paycheck to paycheck, pay off those student loans that have been hanging over your head, or find room in your budget every single month so that way you can start investing for your future, you're going to need a guide, a plan to get yourself there, which is exactly what I'm sharing in my free training, Budget to Build Wealth. In this training, I'm going to be sharing 3 massive mistakes that people make with their budget and their financial plan, so that way you can avoid them. I'm going to be sharing with you the secret to freeing up more money in your budget each month, so that way you can send extra money to your goals. And I'm going to be sharing with you my tried and true 4-step framework to budgeting your way to wealth without giving up what you love. Plus, there is a very special free gift for anyone who stays until the end. You can sign up by going to inspiredbudget.com/class. Or just click the link in my show notes. You'll be able to choose a time that works for your schedule, and I'll see you there. I want to know a little bit more about your goal setting process and how you and your partner set financial goals, whether that was back when you were paying off debt or now, and then any tips that you might have for anyone who is in a relationship and they want to set goals with their partner, but they're kind of just lost. I'm like, well, what do I set? Like, how do I know what's too big or too small of a goal? How do I know that it's something that I should be doing? So tell us a little bit about your personal experience and give us some tips.
Yeah. So when I think about, like, prioritizing money goals, I always think first, what has, like, firm deadlines? So if there's an expense, like if there's a trip coming up in 3 months, as much as maybe you want to pay off the credit card, if this trip is coming up and you need $1,000 in 3 months, if you go all in on just the credit card, then you're going to be putting this trip on the credit card, and then you're stuck in this cycle of trying to pay it off, which a lot of people do get stuck in, is they go all in on one thing and then this other thing. So I always think first, is there anything coming up between you or your partner or combined that we need to prioritize? second question is always, what is keeping you up at night? And each partner might react differently. For one, it might be a lack of emergency fund. They just feel like they don't have anything. And then the other, it might be a credit card debt. Like, that's what's kind of hanging over their head. So if you don't agree on kind of what is the biggest priority level, then you kind of have to do both and say, hey, maybe let's say you have nothing saved for emergency fund. Maybe when it gets to 500 or 1,000, you switch to paying off credit card debt. And then when that gets to, say it was 10,000, say when that gets to 5,000, you switch back to the emergency fund. So you're kind of doing both, showing each other that what each of you value is important. And then also just asking questions like, what are things you want to do this year or the next 3 years? What are things that you want to save for or prioritize? And then setting goals like that. So of course you have like the short-term goals, like the things you want to do in the next year combined, but also individually. Like, I go on a girls trip every year and my husband goes camping with his friends every year. So making sure that you're also spending time discussing and money on the things that you each value, even if it's not things that you necessarily do together, it is important to have your own things too.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And I'm so glad you said it, because I think so often when we talk about money in relationships, we assume that we have to be in this together and my goals are your goals are my goals, and we can't deviate at all and have our own thing. So how would you recommend someone maybe bring up a conversation where they do say, okay, I want to have my own, like, my own financial independence or my own money goal outside of this? It's not bad, but how do you recommend someone maybe get started with that and starts that conversation with their partner who maybe that idea has never crossed their mind before?
Yeah, I think one thing is not to force a like formal conversation. I think we try to like get in our heads of like saying the right thing, but we talk about pretty much everything with our partners, right? Like, maybe work gossip or friend drama or like things going on, and we keep it conversational. So it could be just you're on a road trip and be like, hey, what is one big goal or dream? If money wasn't an issue, what would you want to spend money on? Or what is one thing you want to do in the next 3 years? Or just kind of putting it on them first to see what they say and be like, you know, something I'd really love to do is this. And then how do we, based on our other financial goals, include that, even if it just means for now you can only put $20 away for that, right? Or, and another thing, I think people think every month needs to look the same when it comes to like allocating money for goals, and it doesn't. There's seasons of life where you prioritize saving, and there's seasons of life where maybe you prioritize debt and save. You know, you can be fluid. It doesn't have to be like every month looks identical. And for us, we also have like individual spending money. So I mean, I call an allowance. People get weird about the word allowance for some reason, but I'm not offended. And so we have everything combined, and then we have our own checking accounts for spending money, and that's what we can use, no questions asked, for the month. And then anything more, that's when we'll discuss and be like, hey, I want to do this in 2 months, and then we'll budget for it together. But I think just keeping the conversation casual and not making it this like formal thing, at least not to start. If you want the formal thing, you can totally do it, but just ask what they enjoy spending money on. What do they value? Do they want more family time? Do they want to travel? Do they, you know, just kind of starting to have those conversations is a good way to not make it this like stressful thing.
Yeah, I agree with the separate checking accounts. I think that is like a game changer. I love that you do that. Have y'all done that from the very beginning? I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we do it a little bit different. I don't have a separate checking account. My husband does, but we've always had everything combined. However, he actually is a 1099 contractor for me. He edits my podcast. So my business pays him, and that goes into his own little separate checking account where he can spend it on whatever he wants. And I see so much value in that. And I think that definitely if you want to try something a little bit different with your money, with your partner, but not too crazy where you're separating everything, giving yourself just separate checking accounts for spending money is amazing. Highly, highly recommend it. So I'm glad you guys do that. What advice would you offer any couples who are just dealing with some money differences right now and looking for ways to just get on the same page? Not even just get on the same page, but communicate in a healthy way about money and move closer to financial freedom, financial security than where they are now?
Yeah, I think one thing that's helped us a lot is just starting at understanding our love languages, which just sounds weird because a lot of people are like, that's not money. But it really is because, for example, I love giving gifts, but like that's not like receiving gifts, for example, like isn't my husband's love language. Or some people want words, whatever. Understanding kind of your love language will help understand how you and your partner even spend money or want gifts. Like I want to give gifts, but I don't like getting gifts, if that makes sense. Like I don't want flowers. Like I think they're a waste of money. He's never bought me flowers. Like I've made that clear since the beginning. I was like, I'd rather just not, but I'd rather like spend time with, especially now that we have kids, like I'd rather go on a date night and like, even if it's not just anywhere, I'd rather sit in our car and eat dinner just to spend quality time with him because I don't get that. So first, just like understanding love languages is important because it does relate heavily to money and just your marriage in general. But also just being open about how you're feeling, not just with money, but in like, hey, like this is causing me anxiety. And if you're not comfortable saying it to the person, even write a letter, like write down how you're feeling and give it to them and let them read and process. And then you can either have a conversation or just kind of start there. You have to kind of understand your each of your like communication styles in general. Some people want to sit down and talk it all out at once. Some people need time to like absorb and then come back. So just even going back to like the basic kind of relationship foundations of that relates heavily to money. And just because something doesn't work doesn't mean there's not another option. I think if one of you wants to do something one way, one of you wants to do another way, you can either try each of your ways or figure out one that a different, something completely different that will maybe both of you will agree on. But I think just being super open, not, you cannot hold anything over each other. One thing I think, not that I, one thing I did well, but I've never once said like, this is your debt or you did that. You know, I've never ever said this is your problem or anything. And I think you can't do that, you know, if you are trying to be combined, even if that is the situation or one of you is coming in with more debt or less saved or someone's making more money or whatever the situation is, you have to understand that you can't hold anything against each other.
Exactly. I love that because even if like in the back of your mind, you're frustrated, like I think it's okay to be frustrated at where you find yourself and still be respectful and say like, even though I am frustrated doesn't mean that I'm going to take that frustration out on someone else or cast any blame or shame. So I love that. Allie, you are so, have so much amazing information about marriage and managing money well in a marriage. Where can listeners learn more about you?
Yeah, so I spend too much time on Instagram. That's what my phone tells me when you get the like daily alert of like how many hours you're on. So Instagram's the best place, financially focused, but my website has everything. I started as a blog, so I have a ton of blog posts and other free resources on my website. So those are kind of the best two places to find out everything.
Awesome. And I'll link to those. I like to end our interviews with three fun questions just to get to know you a little bit better. Are you ready for them?
I'm ready.
Okay. What is one thing you're looking forward to?
So last year we bought this house. It's a 25-acre farm, but the house is old. So I'm looking forward to just like over time fixing this up and like hosting and just making this more like homey and where all our kids just want to be forever.
Oh, I love it. 25 acres. What do you have? Like, it's a farm. You have animals and what do you have on this?
So
farm?
We don't. Yes, no. So we bought, so the previous owner had cows and some other stuff. So it's technically like we have a barn and we have like pastures and all that. We just have a dog. One day, maybe. I'm like, I can't. I have a 3-year-old and an 18-month-old. So I'm like, right now I can't do. Yeah. Farm animals as well.
Let's not throw any more like living, breathing beings in the mix. I don't blame you. Oh my gosh. Okay. The second question I have is, what's one mistake you've made with money that you would tell everybody to avoid?
I wish I set up sinking funds earlier. I think I was so focused on debt payoff and like other things, but the other stuff that came, you know, those things that pop up throughout the year, I don't think I was really prepared for. And like sinking funds have like changed the game for me, you know, just with like repairs and pets and other stuff. So I wish I did that. And I guess my second would be like taking advantage of credit card points earlier once I didn't struggle, you know, like once we just with travel and stuff, I'm like, I wish I did that, but now we do, so it's okay.
Yeah. I think definitely with credit card points, just making sure you have the discipline and the ability and means to pay it all off in full. But I love my credit card points. I'm hoarding them right now for a future, hopefully a European vacation trip one day with our kids and my husband. So, and the last question isn't a question at all. Just finish this sentence. My favorite thing I've ever spent money on is?
Duke basketball tickets. My husband is a big Duke fan, and we went to Coach K's final game his final game at Cameron Indoor, and it was like his bucket list. So it was a lot of money, but like zero regrets. It was so fun. So we're a big sports family, so we spend a lot of money on sports.
Hey, everyone has their thing, right? I think that's awesome. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you, Allie, for joining us. I'll link to your website and your Instagram, your social media profiles down below. And I hope that anyone who's listening, this has helped you either just come up with the courage to approach your partner if you've been hesitant, maybe a tip to take away on how to get on the same page, and even just the knowledge that debt doesn't define you. It is just a number, and you can still have a successful relationship and a loving relationship despite it. So thank you, Allie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and that it helps you live your best life and reach your money goals. Don't forget to leave a rating or a review wherever you're listening. I'll be back next week with another brand new episode. Talk to you then.